You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. I want to start a little differently tonight with some COVID potpourri.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so there's a lot of little stories out around this. We talk about the big ones all the time, but there's so much around this subject that is always interesting every day. So the first one I want to talk about is the CDC. So remember when we're bringing our groceries in and we're wiping them down and we're panicking that we're touching something, the shopping cart or the anything, right?
And
the
buttons
on a machine.
Right. And
the
gas pump. And we have, young lady, an entire box of surgical gloves in every vehicle that we own.
And I'm just going to blow them up now. And
you know, I'm the guy that wears them most of the time just to make you feel good. But no, you know, I believe that sometimes you can contract certain diseases by touching things, right?
Oh, I agree. But a lot was made of that in the media, and there was never any scientific evidence that that was so. What there was there was the knowledge that COVID can exist on an object, plastic or metal, for a certain number of hours. So the assumption was made by some people, and it wasn't put out by the CDC as far as wash all your stuff. It was, again, it was exaggerated by the media.
Well, yeah, but I do want to say this, and I try to be fair and square with everything that we talk about in regards to COVID and everything else we talk about. But I also very much agree that historically, viruses, diseases have been transmitted in a variety of ways, not just through coughs and things like that, but touching people and touching things that people have touched. So when the medical professionals say, man, you know, you should probably wear gloves, and you should probably wear a mask, I don't disagree under certain circumstances, right?
I don't either.
You know, I find it kind of stupid wearing a mask out on the beach. I find it stupid wearing a mask when the wind is blowing. I find it, you know, when you've got vitamin D, which is the sunlight and all of that stuff. But even with my experience, I glove up. I did formally gloved up when I go to the store.
Now, I feel more comfortable if I do that.
I do too. Yeah. And I think that's absolutely good that people do that. I mean, I don't disagree with that at all. I'm not going to minimize the use of gloves. And when I don't have gloves immediately with me, and I try to keep them with me all the time. I mean, when I was a police officer, I kept them with me in my back pocket, several pairs of gloves every single day, and used them. I used them all the time. And I'm a huge believer of that. But what I do now, if I don't have a pair of gloves readily available, is I certainly have my antibacterial liquid that we have, and we have it small enough so we can just stick it in a pocket, and I'm like putting that bad boy on and wiping my hands, touch a shopping cart. If I don't have the gloves, which I normally do when I go shopping, I'm doing that. So, but I understand that your point is going to be, and not to steal your thunder.
No, it's just that now they've changed what they said, that you really, there really is very little, if any, danger in contracting coronavirus from objects like this. What they continue to say is that it spreads by person to person, by droplets, people who are in close contact with one another, a cough, a sneeze, even somebody who kind of sprays when they talk, which we've seen. And that's it. So that is the main way that this is contracted.
You know, would you agree with me that a lot of people, meaning in the medical profession, even though they're trying very, very hard, they can't help but be at that third level of knowledge. You don't know what you don't know.
Oh, I agree. But my problem gets to be with the media. when they take things and they run with them, when none of the doctors said you have to wipe everything down, they said it. They intimated it. Then you saw it on the news that they even had demonstrations yes. of you wiping everything down.
Absolutely.
So I think that it gets a little overboard, as a lot of this has been. Okay, so what else is going on with coronavirus?
Well, I would like to make a Dr. Ron correction. Do you ever see in the newspapers back on page 3 where they do a correction? You know, on Monday, we said this, and this was wrong.
Oh,
and
well, now you should do this at the very end of the show, because that's where they always put the corrections.
On page 3? On segment 3 of the show? Right. Is that what we're doing?
No
Dr. Ron is very transparent, and he wants to come forward. And the other day, we were talking about COVID statistics. And usually I'm right on the money with my COVID statistics, and I need to actually have them in front of me so I can speak accurately. But Dr. Ron had a Joe Biden moment.
Oh no.
Oh, I screwed up my statistics.
Oh, no.
And I believe that I said that we had 65 million deaths from H1N1, and I didn't mean to say million. Okay, that's not correct. So, truth be told, over the years since we've had H1N1, we've had pretty close to being in the millions of deaths worldwide.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, and we've had tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of cases of H1N1 since H1N1 was discovered a number of years ago. And so I ran the statistics just for 2018 and only in the United States. And we had 35 million cases of H1N1. You know, forget, that's like a tenth of the population, right? Mm-hmm. Because we had like 300 million people in the United States. And so about a tenth of those people contracted H1N1, and we had 34,200 deaths.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. Serious. But we had, but don't forget, that's only during a few months of the year, right? Yeah. What would it be like if you had it all year round?
Well, I remember that year because I didn't get it that year.
Oh, you know, but anyway, so correction out in front by Dr. Ron.
Okay, well, thank you. And now, so another thing that, speaking of corrections, they have made a lot of errors in their predictions about this virus. Would you agree?
And now I'm part of that group.
And now, and you join with the
and
best
And now
of them.
I've joined that group, which truly hurts me.
But there is a new prediction that says that oddly enough, it's the red states, Texas, Florida, Virginia, that let people, you know, get off of the restrictions a little earlier than other states. And now they're predicting, it's kind of funny because it says 100 or more new cases. We're going to have a whole new, you know, pandemic in the South for having relieved the restrictions on people. So I'm really interested to see. I would expect that there might be a few more, and I would expect that not everybody's going to be, and I'll throw Alabama in there too, not everybody's going to be careful. But, you know, they're saying now that they're going to have this huge new coronavirus problem.
Well, you remember what we said during our conversation just the other night? And I said, look, we are going to get into universal testing, and it is absolutely expected that our C19 stats are going to rise. And I said, with 300 million people in the United States, and universal testing. And if you just test 100 million people in the United States, and we're nowhere near that right now, okay, not nowhere anywhere near testing 100 million people right now, but we will, I think eventually, what did I tell you? We're going to have lots of cases of COVID-19 where the antibodies were in the systems, not necessarily that they were impacted by it, not necessarily that they were in the hospital because of it, but you're going to have a definite increase in those cases, but you're going to have relatively few deaths. And what do I mean by relatively few deaths? Okay, so you're going to have, you know, maybe a couple of thousand more deaths.
But that's not, obviously not from the testing, but here's the thing.
No, but you understand what I'm saying, and then the media is blowing it out of control.
I want to know, and I know that you want to know, how are they reporting this? Are they reporting it by antibodies, or are they reporting it by active cases of sick people? That's what I want to know, and I haven't seen that information. Have you?
No, I haven't specifically, and it's interesting. Because when they have the press conferences, the gotcha press conferences, they don't ask those questions. And I'll tell you why they don't ask those questions, because I don't think that the media wants to know the answer.
Well, no, because it takes away from their narrative.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. That's why they're not specifically asking that question.
Well, something else that might take away from their narrative. You know, I love entrepreneurs, and I just think that it's just such a wonderful way to be is to be entrepreneurial, no matter if you start your own business or whatever you're entrepreneurial about. You could be at home creating things, you know, whatever. But there was an entrepreneur that started a company, and it's a little startup called Mammoth Biosciences. It's located in San Francisco. And what they've done is they have developed a test for COVID-19 that can determine in 20 minutes whether or not you have a positive reaction. And they are now, you know, forwarding it and hope to have it out by the end of the year. And they've got, you know, some large companies that are going to help them produce the mammoth amounts that they want of this. But you would either do a nasal swab or spit into a vial. And it's kind of like a pregnancy test. It would show you, you know, right there at home.
Well, I think last month, at least on Fox, Dr. Siegel actually demonstrated with another physician.
You're right.
That entire process. And I believe with the machine that they were using, you got a response in 15 minutes. So I don't know if this is the same thing or something different. I anticipate this. I anticipate as our big pharma, biological, whatever, you know, kind of the type of pharmaceutical corporation and bioscience corporation that our daughter has worked in, which is one of the big ones, I believe that our people are on the learning curve so quickly that I would not be surprised at all as we get that time limit down to finding out whether somebody tests positive for COVID within 5 minutes or less.
Sure.
You watch,
and
because
here's the
we're
advantage.
Pretty smart out there.
The advantage is that if you feel sick and you feel like, you know, you might be getting something, whether you're getting a cold or you're feeling achy, you have any of the symptoms, right? You take the test, you find out if you are positive, you can immediately start to get help. Do you know how much that would revolutionize what's happening with this virus, especially in the elderly people? I mean, it just would make such a difference in people's lives. So I'm so excited. And it's not just one company run. There are a number of companies that are developing things. And it's the beauty of American
ingenuity,
entrepreneurship, just all of these things. And I'm just very excited about what everybody's doing to solve this problem.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Hey, can I get just slightly political for a second and get your thoughts on President Trump, his administration giving, was it something like over $300 million to pharmaceutical companies that will do more experimentation, more testing?
Well, I think he's giving it to them to have them bring drugs home,
right,
that are
instead
made overseas.
Of, exactly. Yeah. Instead of relying on China.
Yes.
Right?
I totally agree with
okay.
it. And by the way, you know, I mean, it's something I wasn't going to talk about, but I'll say real quickly, is that today, this day that you and I are talking, China has now taken over the PPE companies in China, because they are experiencing a second wave of COVID there, and they want the PPE for themselves. So Americans better watch out, because 90% of that is made in China. And we are going to be in dire straits here if we don't have it. Now, I, you know, bought some into my company. I don't have a lot of it, but I have some of it. And I'm being able to help my clients with having it, because I invested in, you know, kind of looked forward. I'm going to run out of that really quickly. I know this just happened today. And people need to understand the difficulties of getting PPE, and that if you try to put it on a plane to get it here faster, you run into huge problems in China. So it's better to put it on a boat, but a boat takes 30 more days. So it's a problem.
Well, you know, I love, you know, you were talking about entrepreneurs and how much you love entrepreneurs. And I'm going to give this guy a plug, because I love this guy. And it's Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
Oh, yeah.
I love Mike. Okay. And I might even buy his book, because it sounds kind of interesting. He's got a book that he just wrote. I think it's called What Are the Odds? So I'm giving a shout out to Mike and giving him a little plug for his book.
And as my pillows are amazing.
Oh yeah, and we don't get any endorsements from Mike. He doesn't even know who the heck
product.
We are.
No.
But his products are very good, and they're made in the United States. I want to see thousands of Mike Lindells out there and companies in the United States producing PPEs for us, because you know this is going to come back, you know, next season. And you and I did a talking while married, a month ago. And, you know, we were talking about China, even in Wuhan. They said that they've tested people and they believe that there's 20 or more strains of COVID out there. So I think we're going to see COVID-20, COVID-25, COVID-30, you know, COVID-40. And perhaps this is what's happening in China right now.
They were talking about exactly that the strain that they are seeing now is different than the original strain. And that's to be expected.
Well, H1N1, that's a strain,
all,
right?
All viruses, they change. So, you know, that's going to happen. Hey, I still have a few more potpourris to go. So I'm going to get you a cup of coffee and then go over the new ones.
Okay, well, that sounds great.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
Okay, well, we're all coffeed up. And, you know, I want to start out with, we were talking about PPEs. And, you know, if people have a hard time getting a mask and they want to wear a mask, and it's good to wear a mask, it's not going to stop everything, but it's going to do a couple of different things. It's going to stop you from touching your face so much. And it's also going to stop some of the larger particles from, you know, you being able to breathe them in. And I think that that's important. And I think that people should do it. And when I go into a store, I wear a mask. Now, if you can't afford to buy a mask, if you can't find a mask, and by the way, there's a zillion of them out there right now because a lot of people have stepped up in the U.S. and are making them.
I mean, there's not only masks, but there, what do you call those things, Linda, that you pull up, that go around your neck and you pull up? Women usually know that kind of thing. Anyway, it's kind of like a...
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like an elastic scarf kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like a bandana scarf.
It is.
And you pull it up. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like something around my ears.
Brandanas and...
Yeah,
there's all different names for them. Yeah, but yeah. So anyway, you can take something like a sock. Take a long athletic sock and cut it and fashion it to put two little holes where your ears would go, and you can actually make yourself a mask out of an athletic sock.
Hopefully one that's washed.
Well, yes, hopefully. So anyway, that's my little tip for the day. And
thank you, Linda.
Yes. Well, I mean, hey, everybody can't afford to get out and find a mask.
That's
but
true.
Most people have a pair of socks.
That's true.
So, anyway, Magic Johnson is in the news because Magic Johnson added $100 million to the PPP fund, and the money is to go to minority-owned businesses. So he added his own $100 million.
So they can produce PPEs? What's the money for?
Or
support
PPP,
the businesses?
PPP.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Payroll Protection Plan.
Got it.
He added $100 million to it to provide money for minority-owned businesses.
Wow, so that's phenomenal.
That's a guy that stepped up to the plate when people needed him. And then I just wanted to do something kind of interesting because you and I travel from time to time. And there's some new terms that are coming out in the travel industry that you're going to hear and you're going to say, what? So I'm going to tell you a few of them, okay?
Okay.
The first one is called sanitagging, which is interesting that they're doing this, but now that they've just found out that so much when you touch things, it doesn't matter, but this is what they're doing. So sanitagging is they put a little tag on your luggage. When it gets to the airport, they spray it and sanitize it. And then they do it several times in that process as it gets on and off the plane. They're sanitizing the luggage.
Wow.
So they put a little sanitag on there to tell you that it's been sanitized.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you and your brother-in-law, label business, I'm telling you, there's some business there, Linda.
Oh, tags, labels, all of it. Absolutely. Okay. And then the next travel term that we're seeing out there is... Of course, you know this one because you know the airport that is in Arizona where they have all the airplanes go.
Right, the hub. Darn it, we fly in and out of there all the time.
Where all the kind of the dead airplanes go.
Oh, well, you know, actually that's out in like, they have one out there near, is it near Tucson? But they have one in California up near Lancaster where all the dead airplanes go.
The next travel word is a travel bubble. So a travel bubble is going to be, there are countries and states and different places around the world that have rules and regulations about crossing borders, right? And some of them are going to be relaxed in order to try to get travel going again. So they're very concerned about people not traveling, and they're not traveling, especially overseas. So some countries like Estonia has made an agreement with his neighbors, Latvia and Lithuania, to open their borders and let people cross freely without all of the documents and things that they normally need to have so that they can get travel going back. And kind of in the United States, we have a little bit of that as well. So we have some things between the different states where, you know, Governor Abbott didn't want anybody coming in from Louisiana when they had a lot of the COVID. So they'll make travel bubbles so it's easier for people to travel. And then we have mothballing, which is really not a new term. I don't know why they're listing it as a new term. But you know what that is, when they send the airplanes to the airplane
graveyard. the airplane graveyard.
Right.
Okay. And you know, mothballing came not only from airplanes, but I kind of remember it coming from ships. after World War II when we had all the ships, and they just put them out to pasture, and they would, when I lived up in the San Francisco Bay Area, they had them out in the North Bay, and had them all docked out in the inlet, in one of the inlets in the North Bay on the way up to Sacramento.
Right. Well, they're doing that with planes that normally would be in the air right now. And if they're not really going to a graveyard, but they're going to that dry environment where they stay safer,
correct,
you know, and they're correct, easier to maintain.
Yeah.
Then we have immunity health passports. So you're going to carry a little card.
Nah, I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
I don't like that. It reminds me of Jewish people with yellow stars on their clothes. We've talked about that before.
Well, this was put out by the World Health Organization.
Oh, my favorite organization.
And they want people to carry these immunity cards.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Yeah,
globalists.
And some places like Chile, they already are putting something on their passport to say that the person has recovered from COVID.
And the next thing they're going to do is put a tattoo on your arm or a microchip up your wrist, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's not going to happen, I hope. And then non-essential travel. So non-essential travel is a new term that we're using, kind of like the other new terms of lockdown and self-isolation and social distancing, all these new terms that we have. And some people are not allowed to do non-essential travel at all. So that's it. Those are the new travel terms that we have to be aware of when we're talking about them, so we know what they're talking about.
Oh, okay, I appreciate that.
You know, Ron, I know that you were kind of hunkered down in your office quite a bit with the door closed today. I was kind of wondering what you were doing. I come home this evening, walk in, flip on Graham Ledger, the Daily Ledger show, which I love to watch. And as soon as I flipped it on, there is my husband on the show,
wearing my same forensic uniform.
What a coinkydink, huh?
Yeah, well, I was kind of hunkered down in the media.
And you're talking about the article that you wrote, which we talked about the other day, that called "Pandemic Policing and the Advent of National Socialism," which is a really, really great article. It's just getting rave reviews on America Out Loud. And you also did a show on America Out Loud about that article as well. So that one really was a home run for you. And, you know, it just kind of shocked me when I flipped on the TV and it wasn't like you were coming on. It's there you were.
Well, I appreciate that. I really enjoy being on One American News. We have a great relationship, been with them for a number of years now. And I really like Graham Ledger. He's very much a common sense kind of guy. And some people look at Graham as being a conservative. I think he's more of a libertarian, you know, sort of a conservative libertarian. I don't think that that's a oxymoron at all. But yeah, we're talking about the article "Pandemic Policing," and he brought up a situation that happened out in Hawaii. And had me look at a video where a couple of conservation police, and I didn't even know we had conservation police, but a couple of conservation police on one of the islands in Hawaii were basically beating down a guy on the beach because he was walking his dog in violation of the stay off the beach order by the governor. And it was interesting because that's a great example of pandemic policing. And I wanted to just talk to you about that case very briefly in another case.
Yeah, if you want to hear it.
Well, so I think you know that the entire state of Hawaii is on lockdown.
Yes.
And people cannot go on the beaches. Nobody's in the hotels. None of the businesses are running. And Hawaii has, you know, how many islands, Linda? Are there five islands in Hawaii?
Well, there's a number of islands, but there's... You know,
I mean, the big
the four main ones,
right.
And then there's
so there's
you know some other ones like Molokai, and,
right? But yeah. But I'm just talking about like the island of Oahu, which is where Honolulu is, Pearl Harbor, right?
The big island of Hawaii,
and then the big island of Hawaii,
Maui and Kauai.
There you go.
Those are the big four.
Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And so I decided, like I always do, to do the statistics. And so I don't have a Biden moment. I've got the statistics right here. Okay. So the population of Hawaii is 1.4 million people. 1.4 million people. And out of the entire Hawaiian island chain, they only have had, to this day, 641 confirmed cases of COVID out of 1.4 million people. And out of that, the 641, they've had 578 people completely recover from it, and they've only had 17 deaths.
Wow, that's really good for
17
them.
Deaths. And the vast majority of those deaths have been older people in their 80s, and perhaps, I'm just speculating, but if it's very consistent with the other profiles, other pre-existing onboard diseases.
And the one reason I'm kind of amazed about those stats is because Hawaii has somewhat of a, for the island sizes, they have a very transient population, and they have a good portion of homeless people there.
Oh, we have experienced that. We even did a study out there looking at the homeless people because I do a lot of work with park rangers. And so they were all at the beaches, which are state parks. And, you know, and I needed to see what was going on there.
And trust me, they didn't like us being there.
Boy, they sure didn't. That's a whole nother story though. But anyway, let me just stick with the statistics and what I found. So the vast majority of the deaths, I believe all of the deaths except for two, so 15 out of the 17 happened on the island of Oahu, where Honolulu is. Two deaths happened on the island of Maui. Now, I believe, and you and I have been going to Hawaii for years and years and years, and you years before we got married. Those are the two mostly traveled islands. Would you not agree?
Honolulu, I would agree that they're, you know, they're Oahu, the most touristy.
Yeah. Right, the most touristy. And so, and then we've got the recovery rates. So on the island of Hawaii, which is the big island that we really love to go to, they had a 98% recovery rate.
Wow, that's
98%.
Great.
And on the island of Kauai, which we go to all the time, a 99% recovery rate. Right now, the odds of contracting COVID in the island of Hawaii, all of the islands combined, is just astronomically low. And the chances of dying from COVID-19, if you visit the islands of Hawaii, is even lower than astronomically low. We're talking in the thousandths of a percent of 1%. Yet, the governor closed the entire island down.
Okay, well,
for the state,
I would have a different suggestion for the governor, and I'll tell you why. They have closed off the people that can come by plane, which is how you get there, both from the United States and from Asia.
Oh, because so tremendous Japan, amount of Asians visit.
Tremendous amount.
Yeah.
And so within their islands now, they're pretty secluded, right?
Oh, I would agree. Yeah.
So I don't think that they need to close down things right now because their original fear, and I don't disagree with them, they are on an island, they are on a very closed space, and they live by tourism. So were there to be a lot of tourists over there, I think that they would have a much bigger problem, and I think that they would have to take more drastic measures. But since they have stopped the people from flying in, then why do it?
Exactly. That's my point. So you've captured it exactly. My thing isn't that they should open up the islands, you know, to, you know, the tourism again and all of this, but, and for the reasons you said, but to leave the islands closed and the beaches and the parks closed and the businesses closed for their own Hawaiian people, I think is extreme. And I think it's I think it's unreasonable, and I think it's capricious, and it is not based on the science. It is not at all based on the science. You know, you only have 641 confirmed cases. You got a 98% recovery rate,
and you've blocked off the people that could have it coming.
Right. And so
there you go.
And so my point is, so why beat this guy up on the beach, right?
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
what we talk about? And I want to continue this conversation because I have a couple of more cases I want to talk about. And I want to talk about this whole balance between the governmental need and the intrusion upon the individual. Can I sweeten up your coffee?
You absolutely can.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Around in the bend with the last cup of coffee, and I wanted to sort of continue our conversation about these COVID cases, meaning, you know, the pandemic policing. And okay, so we just talked about the state of Hawaii and what happened to that poor unfortunate guy on the beach. There's a video out there, and I thought it was just disgraceful.
And there's going to be a lawsuit somewhere, I'm sure.
Oh, I think there is, and I tell you, I'd love to go out there and help that guy. So Linda, the next case I want to talk about is in a suburb of North Carolina called Holly Ridge. And that is in the county of Onslow. Okay. And what we have is we have a guy that is, this is dear to my heart, United States Marine veteran. And as a matter of fact, a Marine, what we call a Marine Raider, which is almost like kind of a force recon guy, special ops kind of guy. This is a guy that did a couple of tours in Afghanistan, just seems like a wonderful, patriotic veteran. I watched this guy on YouTube. There was a 20-minute video. I watched the whole thing, including his arrest. So this man's name, and I'm going to probably butcher his last name because it sounds Greek to me, but his name is Nick Koulamatatosis.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. And he is the owner of Snap Fitness 24/7, and he was just forced to close his business down. And so here we have a veteran, a patriot, and an entrepreneur, a businessman, and he was forced to close his gym. And he was arrested in defiance of the governor's order. He said, look, I was an obedient business person. They're telling me it's a problem. The governor had made an order, you know, back on the 17th of March. I stayed closed for 2 weeks. I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I was losing money. But because I was a good American, I wanted to go along and to get along, and I kept my gym closed. But I started seeing that there were serious issues with the governor's edict and his order, his executive order, which I think was called Executive Order 139. And so closing everything, you got to close, you can't open up. So he opened up his gym and, you know, practiced the social distancing and did the whole thing, kept all of his equipment, you know, clean and everything, just like that guy in New Jersey we talked about just the other night. Anyway, they came out and they arrested this guy. And so I did the stats, okay, on what's going on in North Carolina. And I just want to just keep it really, really simple for you. So North Carolina's got a population of 10.5 million people. And in Onslow County, the population is 198,000. And in Holly Ridge, it's only 2,600 people. So it's a really, really small town. In the whole county of Onslow, they've only had 75 COVID cases, and they've only had 2 deaths. And so the stats are that if you live in Onslow County, your chances of contracting COVID, just contracting it, is 0.0003 thousandths of 1%. And of dying is 0.00001 ten thousandths of 1%. And yet they close this guy down, they handcuff this guy, and they arrest him. I mean, what the heck?
Well, there's going to be problems. And do you notice, Ron, that the governors that are doing this in a lot of these states are Democratic governors? And it's the Republican governors that happen to be opening their states more and giving people more freedom. That this is really, I wouldn't have expected that when this started. I thought it would be more even, Stephen, but it's not. It's the red states that are opening it. And by the way, the media is blasting them for it. And the blue states that are, you know, locking down people. Now, here's one that happened today, which is, I'm telling you, it's a sign of things to come, is in the state of Ohio, 35 gyms got together and they filed a lawsuit against the state of Ohio for their lockdown of their businesses.
The governor's executive orders.
Yes, and it was filed by the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law. And the person was that it was against was the health director for the Ohio Department of Health. The director was Amy Acton, okay? And the case was that she was penalizing the plaintiffs or similar businesses for violating the lockdown. And the judge, who was Judge Eugene Lucci, said, no way, you cannot do this. She said it was illegal totally.
Yeah, I believe that the exact language in the judge's ruling was, and this is really important for people to understand, because it's the same language that I've been using since we began these conversations where we balance the governmental intrusion, you know, which are arrests, citations, summonses, detentions, you name it. Against the governmental need. And what the judge ruled is that the governmental expression of need was arbitrary, capricious, and objectively unreasonable. Okay, how many times have I said that?
Yes, and what she also said is that a quarantine, that the language that they used to keep people out of their businesses was quarantine and isolation. And she says that the lockdown does not meet the legal requirements for isolation, which is defined as the separation of an infected individual from others during the period of disease communicability.
That's right, because these people don't have it.
And the period of quarantine for this virus is 2 to 14 days. So you cannot indefinitely keep people quarantined. You cannot. Okay, so now she has said this. I'm telling you, every day, Ron, we're seeing another domino fall with a judge in these cases. And I'm loving it, and I know that you're loving it more than me, because I just think that it's gotten past the point of being, you know, healthy for all of us to be stuck at home.
Right. And you know, that's what I said, you know, by and large in my article on pandemic policing. And about, you know, here's what's really interesting about, and of course, this thing just blew up on social media, and I'm really happy for that. And about 98% of all the people that gave me feedback, and believe me, there's been hundreds and hundreds of them, I'm so happy about it, has been very positive. There are people that have taken the oath like you and I did to protect and defend and maintain people's civil rights and maintain our democracy, and people that have not been in law enforcement that said, you know, this is nuts, this is crazy. The people giving pushback are both people that are more of a liberal persuasion, which is weird because these are people normally anti-police people, and these are the same people that are saying, yeah, he needs to be arrested, he violated the law. And then the sterner law enforcement people, the people that are actually pretty ignorant of the Bill of Rights, and they just believe that, hey, look, I've got a badge, and the law says, you know, they're breaking the law, and we can arrest them. Well, wait a minute. It's what were you going to say? Were you going to take the words out of my mouth and say it's not a law?
No, I was going to say these are the very same politicians who are letting criminals out of jail.
Oh, no, absolutely. And what I'm talking about is the cops that are saying, wait a minute, that he violated the law. I'm going, wait a minute, what law? because the judges are saying these are not laws. These are edicts. These are orders. These are strong suggestions. Our governor, Greg Abbott, thank God, lieutenant governor, and our attorney, state attorney general say, wait a minute, these are guidelines. They're not laws. There's nothing codified, and they're not designed to hurt people. We're not designed to hurt businesses. They're not designed to take people and put them into jail. And as you and I have talked about, the irony of doing something like this to a patriot, a veteran, and a business owner like Nick Koulamatatosis is that you're going to handcuff this brother and you're going to put him into the jail where, as you say, Linda, they are releasing tens of thousands of violent felons because they're worried that they're going to get COVID in the jail. And then you take a wonderful person like Nick and you stick him right in that very environment. It doesn't make any sense at all.
I want to give you a really, really surprising study. There was a study done by JP Morgan that was just released. And that study indicates that states and counties and countries where lockdowns were implemented have a higher rate of COVID-19 than the places that remained open throughout the pandemic. So you take South Dakota, which has had very few cases, they never locked down. And they've had almost no cases at all over the last week. In Hong Kong, they never locked down either, and they have had only, I think, 4 deaths. So, you know, what you said before and what we saw in New York is when you lock those people down in all those high-rise apartment houses.
Well, tenements, I mean, projects, high-density population environments, yeah.
Okay, so here's what else is happening. When you lock down people, it's not just the COVID, it's their whole health care kind of goes to heck. So we're seeing more heart attacks, we're seeing more strokes, we're seeing more suicides, we're seeing more domestic violence. So a lot of other things are happening because of this. Drug abuse, alcoholism have increased. So there's going to be more deaths. As Dr. Siegel from Fox News says, he put it that there's going to be more deaths ultimately from the lockdown than from the virus. So start opening things. And I totally agree. I don't disagree that we needed a lockdown. I disagree that it has gone on this long.
Oh, I'm right with you. And by the way, it's circumstance, environment, and situational dependent. Would you not agree?
I would totally
okay.
agree.
Okay. So, and what I mean by that is when you have high concentrations of COVID-19 infections and you have high concentrations of hospitalizations and deaths, yeah, you're probably going to have to go to some extreme measures to try to mitigate that. But look at all the stupid things that they've done. Look at, they already have known for quite some time that the elderly are a demographic that is at extremely high risk of being hospitalized or dying from COVID. People with pre-existing diseases, heart disease, you know, cardiovascular disease, rhomboidosis, kidney disease, people that are obese, people with high blood pressure, all of these things. And then besides dementia, Alzheimer's, a lot of these things that come with age, those people are at high risk in their 80s plus are at high risk. These people that are in assisted living care facilities and in old folks homes and things like this are at high risk. And what do? They isolate them inside those facilities.
They isolated them inside and then they put people with the active virus in them into those homes.
It's absolutely,
and they kill people.
It's absolutely incredible. And when I see Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, not taking ownership for all those deaths on his watch, I'm seeing, well, there you go. Right there you go. There's a pandemic politician. I'm sure when you open up the dictionary, when Webster puts that word in there, his picture is going to be there. And I can't stand it when these people do not take ownership for the serious negligence and incompetence that they have that caused the death of these people.
And what angers me tremendously is I have not seen anything that President Trump has done that has caused the death of people. Yet I've seen what politicians have done, in governors, mayors, And they have directly caused the deaths of people with their orders in all kinds of different ways. Besides COVID, you know, we're talking the other things, the drug abuse, the alcoholism, the suicide, the domestic violence, all kinds of, letting the criminals out, number one on my list. Okay. And this, yet they blame President Trump for all of this. And that's just stupidity and lies.
What we're going to find when this first COVID event is over, seasonally, it's over, and we start doing the stats in about six more months after this, because we're going to have to tabulate all this stuff, we are going to find out exactly what you're alluding to, Linda. We're going to find that the attempt to cure it was worse than the disease itself. We're going to find, just like you said, the deaths from suicide, the deaths from self-medication, the opioid deaths, the child abuse, the elder abuse, the domestic violence, all of these things would have gone up right through the roof, and none of it satisfied these extreme intrusions onto our civil liberties. The last thing I want to mention is that, just like you started talking about this Ohio judge, and we see judges in a variety of states that are slapping these rules down. Wisconsin did it. There's been some other, in Texas, they slapped down the arrest of the salon owner in Dallas County. We are going to see a theme that goes all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and they are going to make some serious rulings about the intrusions being too extreme and not satisfying the governmental need. Okay, in other words, the science didn't back it up. It was more subjective than objective.
Well, just to switch the subject for 1 second, I want to say that a new contract was released for the border wall in Arizona, 42 more miles. The contract was released to a North Dakota company, and we are going to get a whole new section in Arizona of the border wall. Hooray, it's a $1.3 billion contract. The border wall is going up, and they're really rocking and rolling on it.
Well, and we definitely need that. And do you notice how quiet, relatively
yes,
quiet, the pro-immigration, let them all across the border, all of those people, you can almost hear crickets out there. Okay, are you with me on that?
I'm with you on that. And just think, the more wall we put up, the more people are. But Mexico is kind of booming with the COVID virus right now. We don't need them coming over the border. So I'm happy that this is moving ahead.
You know, Linda, the other thing that they're going to find when this first COVID event is over is they're going to find that they destroyed small and large businesses. They destroyed stores. They destroyed restaurants. They destroyed fitness centers and gyms. And there was the destruction of incomes, especially for business owners who are seniors, and the arrests of good, patriotic, tax-paying American citizens and veterans.
Well, I think so. And we're seeing it in our own small town, Ron, that there are places that we have eaten at. There are places that we have patronized for a number of years that are just gone. And these are people that, you know, we say hello to. And, you know, it's very sad. But this is happening all over the country, and we need to get past it. There are just a lot of other consequences health-wise that happens. Did you know that alcohol purchases are up 600%?
Well, sure, because people are medicated. You know, they're self-medicating. They're depressed. You know, the thing that bothers me as a law enforcement officer who took the oath and takes that extremely seriously is the politicization and the weaponization of the police against our own citizens. And the pushback from the media, you know, the libtard media, who is always the first to criticize the police, and the liberals, who are the first to criticize the police, are either, you hear nothing but crickets chirping, or they are actually enabling the police officers that are violating civil rights and the politicians that are violating civil rights and say, yeah, those people broke the law. Those people should be penalized. And I'm going, what has happened to the United States of America? Or is this going to be a learning experience for us? Or
yeah,
what?
When you have had all of the shootings that you have had in, say, Chicago, and then and the pushback from anybody in that government in Illinois to solve that problem, and indeed they were handcuffing the police. Now they have nothing to say. So you go out and get my little business owner, but you leave those guys out there shooting people alone.
Well, you know, I ran the statistics on the city of Chicago, I think about a week ago, and I don't have those statistics in front of me, but I will tell you that this year alone and last year, all of last year, constitutes at least half as many shooting deaths as COVID deaths in the city of Chicago. And you hear nothing from, you know, from the mayor of Chicago or the city council or anybody.
Well, I also want to talk about the health situation, Ron, which is serious because people are not getting their health taken care of in this time. So people, we know two people personally who have cancer and need surgery, and they're not getting their surgery. Calls to the suicide hotlines are up 600%. We have lots and lots of health situations that are not being taken care of, from well child checkups to shots to dental exams, which are important to your overall health. All these things are getting avoided right now, and there's consequences to all of this for people, for people's long-term health, along with their incomes, along with their jobs, all of that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, as we bring tonight's coffee conversation to a conclusion, I just want to remind you, young lady, that the next few shows of Talking Well Married are going to be Dr. Ron and Linda on the road, heading out to Calisuela, where we're going to support our employees and our California businesses out there.
Yes, and we're going to bring our gloves and our masks, and we're going to...
And it's going to be a whole new experience for us.
We're going to eat in the RV, and we're not going to eat in the restaurants, and we're going to do the things that we should do to stay healthy.
Yep. Dr. Ron is going to become Chef Ron, and I'm hoping to make some wonderful meals for you in the RV. I got a brand new Ninja grill that I'm... And Dr. Ron is going to become Chef Ron, and I am planning on making a variety of tasty meals for you. I got the brand new Ninja grill, and I'm going to fire up that bad boy, and let's see, you know, what it can do.
Well, I'm looking forward to being wowed.
Well, you ready to call it an evening?
I am.